Hello and welcome to today's edition of Energy Insight with Rocky. Hope you all are doing good and enjoying the back to normal life as the economy opens up in most part of the world. As for me, I'm multitasking between my work commitments, kids, YouTubing occasionally, and definitely enjoying the podcasting bandwagon so far. As you all know, my podcast mainly revolves around topics that are currently gaining momentum in the energy world, more precisely with a focus on energy transition and carbon neutrality. But for this edition, I would like to deviate a bit and talk about an issue that needs everybody's attention and thoughtful intervention. I would like to address a topic that is very important to me and near to my heart, and that is on the impact of pandemic on women. On a side note, the scope of this podcast is strictly for knowledge sharing purposes and not necessarily to provide any advice to the listeners, and not in any way I attract any liability for any inconsistency in terms of the accuracy for the information that I have collated. Most of the information is available in the public domain. Folks, as I mentioned, the topic for today's session is different and still distinctly connected to the energy, or more precisely, I would say to the corporate world one way or other. Yes, we all are facing the most unprecedented and unpredictable times for a while now. After COVID started in 2019, it's the third year of uncertainties. But more than pandemic, what worries me is the unprecedented evacuation of women from the workforce in the past 2 years, which has disproportionately impacted the financial, emotional, social, and economic well-being of women and girls. I never wear a gender bias glass, as I have always represented minority in terms of gender while pursuing my chemical engineering undergrad and postgraduate degrees in school some 2 decades back, and in my professional career within LNG and oil and gas sector. Although I'm equally supportive of men and women in the professional world, nevertheless, I cannot worry less to see the rising pressure on women, specifically with the onset of pandemic and the effect that has only intensified in the last 2 years. Talking about some statistics, the U.S. Bureau of Labor reveals that as of first quarter 2021, around 2 million women have left the workforce since the pandemic started. This number has definitely improved compared to the number from first quarter 2020, which was close to 4 million women who dropped out of their jobs. The woofing downfall corresponds to 56% decline in the employment participation rate, a level which has never been observed since the past 4 decades. Paying a closer attention to the U.S. labor force participation by gender, since the pandemic started, there has been a remarkably higher number of women exiting the workforce than men. And more concerning is that the return to work has been reasonably slower for women than men. According to a McKinsey report, out of the 2 million women who stepped down from their career with the onset of the pandemic, 23% of the women with kids under the age of 10 considered leaving the workforce altogether. All these gaps, which hardly existed before the pandemic, have still not been filled, as women have not recouped to their pre-pandemic employment levels. The effect is extraordinarily significant, and it reflects a tremendous toll on the mental health and well-being of women. The July 2020 McKinsey studies show that several industries where women have major representation, like food, retail, education, were badly hit by the pandemic, and hence it has drastically impacted the women workforce within these industries. I have several first-hand discussions with women in my network who were at the pinnacle of their career before everything crashed for them 2 years back with the onset of the pandemic. The pandemic affected many of us, both men and women equally, I believe. But more specifically, for few women, it was a hard choice between being more focused in their career versus meeting the basic needs of the family during the most unprecedented timings. And primarily between men and women, if there has a choice to be made, the reliance on women to meet the childcare needs or at the home front are more counted upon. And hence, mothers continued to bear more of the burden and responsibility than fathers after the onset of COVID. With all this disparity, the status of several women changed in a matter of few weeks. And just as it took decades for them to build their career, it could take several years for them to regain. This imbalance might be temporary, but for sure it has crumbled the labor equality and made us all think if this recession should more precisely be called as a she-cession. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me on that? It would be very insightful to hear your perspective and reasoning behind it. So do share your inputs with me. And undoubtedly, the consequences of the last 2 years will take a long time to heal. But during the recovery phase, it's pertinent that we cohesively work to address the disparity and challenges that the pandemic has intensified. I stumbled upon a very thought-provoking article from the New York Times that highlights that loss and reveals the cost when society relies on mother to be the backup plan. This article also reveals that when the pandemic created a childcare crisis, mothers became the default solution. From the year 1955, when women represented one-third of the American labor force, to January 2019, when women achieved an impressive milestone of making up for more of the workforce than men, it was a monumental downfall for many women to make the hard choice to either quit their jobs or lose their jobs in a blink of a few weeks. I strongly believe and support that these are the stories which must be heard as we move forward to rebuild a more inclusive community that gives everyone a fair opportunity to make a stronger comeback and evolve through the unprecedented situation. So, dear audience, now a million-dollar question in front of us is how we work cohesively with a time-bound action plan to rebuild the community and make an easy comeback for the women who lost so much for no fault of theirs. I strongly believe that each one of us can make a small yet thoughtful and cognizant contribution that will go a long way to make the comeback easy for the other women around us. And that is one of the very reasons I wanted to deviate from the regular energy-focused podcast that I do and discuss the serious concern in front of us with all of you. I'm sure each one of us can do our part to support the comeback plan for all such women. First and foremost, I believe the greatest prerequisite to establish a comeback plan would be our commitment towards gender diversity, equality, and empowerment. We, as responsible citizens and organizations, big or small, must pledge gender diversity at all the levels as our top priority. A featured McKinsey study on women in the workplace 2020 reiterates that in the year marked by crisis and uncertainty, corporate America is at a crossroad. The choices companies, and more precisely the major oil and gas players, make today will have consequences on the gender equality for decades to come. I run my own consulting company. It's a one-man show, or more precisely, I would say a one-woman show company into LNG project development. I started it after I lost my job to the LNG market disruptions in 2020. I have pledged gender equality as my top priority anytime I look to expand my consulting group. The market has been sluggish with very less projects moving ahead, so I'm not able to add any new team members to my group. But that does not stop me from lifting any other women. I'm working very closely within my network to spread the word and link the women in need in my network to the companies as per their area of expertise so that they can make a quick and well-deserved comeback. I have pledged that I will help as much as I can, if not as a direct employer, but as an intermediate recommender for a woman who deserves to be at a certain position. And I feel that's the smallest way I can contribute. I would enthusiastically follow the bandwagon of several women leaders at the forefront of helping and empowering other women so we can rise together faster and stronger. As an organization or individual, if you want to learn more about the optimal and strategized responses to the pandemic's effects on women, the United Nations Women Empowerment Principles are the best and most constructive place to start. It explains several scenarios in which an organization must commit to equality and a culture of inclusivity and empowerment. It calls for establishing company-wide goals and targets for gender equality and include a progress of such targets as a factor in the manager's performance reviews. It also reiterates on engaging internal and external stakeholders in the development of company policies, programs, and implementation plans that would positively advance equality at all the levels. Offering flexible work options, leave and re-entry opportunities to positions of equal pay and status, and support access to child and dependent care by providing services, resources, and information to both women and men are several such options and scenarios cited in the United Nations Women Empowerment Principles. It also emphasizes on implementing gender-sensitive recruitment and retention practices and proactively recruiting and appointing women to managerial and executive positions and to the corporate board of directors. Another significant prospect that adds value to the comeback plan is mentorship and coaching. This one is specifically very close to my heart, as I cannot agree more on the benefits of a valued and timely advice that one can get to make an informed and superior decision when it comes to career development and advancement, and implementing the lessons learned from your mentor's experiences, which he or she has actually lived through. With several constructive and developmental programs, best practices, and human welfare policies in place, mentorship can be very mighty to reinforce the real-life experiences and lessons learned from your mentor's life directly to the mentee's professional growth. I've been personally very fortunate to have a few best industry professionals as my mentors. Thanks to all my mentors for being there and nurturing and sharing their experiences that has helped me tremendously and will further help me to evolve as I grow to be a thoughtful leader to guide the future generation. Making the right resources available at the right time to help connect women in need of guidance, specifically with women leaders who are already in a strategic position, more kind of an empowerment plan focused on providing career resources, networking opportunities, and thoughtful strategies to minimize obstacles that women face in the industry would also greatly help. One remarkable effort could be to organize virtual or in-person networking workshops for young women who are at the start of their career when the economy has been so disruptive, or for the women who are trying to make a comeback after the unprecedented times. Of course, empowering tools or mentors for these women may be of any gender, but it's especially effective and more powerful to see women lifting other women, a working mother empowering other mother, women uplifting and supporting other women in the workplace with their professional, or for that matter, professional personal life issues. This will definitely go a long way as we can relate to each other at a very granular level with so many similarities between us. I personally will be more than happy to talk, guide, and share my own lessons learned with any women in need of guidance. So please, please do get in touch with me if you need any inputs or coaching. Happy to help as much as I can. And when it comes to women empowerment, I cannot agree more on the value that global initiatives like Power Play Awards, which recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of a remarkable women professional in the workplace across all the LNG value chain, or other awards like Transition Economist campaign, like the TE100, Women of the Energy Transition, which celebrates and recognizes powerful women in the energy transition space, would add. Several other programs like Young GasTech, Diversity and Inclusions Program by GasTech also add a lot of value to the comeback plan and only strengthens it strategically. It undoubtedly elevates the optimism and encourages women in the path of refined and thoughtful leadership. It also helps them to become an influential and empathetic future leader who believes in uplifting others as they evolve and grow. Last but not the least, when we talk about the comeback plan, the most important and paramount prerequisite is the overall well-being of employee, or more precisely, women. A state of physical, mental, and social well-being is known as health. A healthy mind is a happy mind, and a happy and healthy mind can translate as self-rejection to confidence, subjugation to collaboration, and self-interest to commitment, which I optimistically believe are the right ingredients on the path of success and leadership. Many major companies worldwide are already putting their best foot forward with a very comprehensive approach and are already on the path to ensure healthy well-being of their employees and more specifically women. With the unprecedented times, what is required now is a better understanding of others' situation and putting yourself in their shoes, offering some flexibility by introducing hybrid working lifestyle and times, emergency childcare programs, introducing physical fitness resources and mental fitness programs to the women would definitely go a long way. These all resources and tools will ensure an easy comeback for sure. Conclusively, the pandemic has been very pressing on everyone and more on the women, either as a primary breadwinner or as a supportive member or a primary caretaker of the family and kids. All these uncertainties and adversities in the past 3 years only underpins the need for more support and protection for women and their families. In any scenario, the ability to recoup from the current unparalleled and striking calamity depends on our actions and the empowerment we offer for an easy comeback to the women re-entering the workforce. I can speak from my own experience that such inclement situation at personal and professional front makes any women more resilient and helps them to champion the future abrupt situation with proper planning and focus. All they need is a supportive industry with an open mind, open arm, and empowering attitude to make their comeback easy and embrace them wholeheartedly. Let's just be there for them and rest assured they will soar high up again and very soon. We must always remind ourselves that together we can rise faster, stronger, kinder, and more resilient. So with that positive note, time to wrap up my session. Thanks to all my listeners for trusting me and my opinion. And if you find the 20-minute brain dump of mine interesting, feel free to circulate it in your network and do write to me at energyinsightwithrocky@gmail.com. I would be more than happy to hear your perspective. Stay happy, healthy, and most importantly, empathetic, as that is what the world needs the most. With that note, time to sign off. Bye until we catch up with another insightful podcast. Thank you.